Good morning again. While I'm getting ready, we can be turning to Philippians 4.
Please.
There's a verse in Philippians 4 that's probably almost as notable and a memory verse, about like John 3:16, and we all know what it is. We'll get there in a little bit. Verse 13, obviously. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But we're going to start in chapter 4, verse 11. I woke up this morning, I'd been studying something else for a week or so, and since Wednesday especially, since I preached at church camp. And I woke up about 4:15, 4:30 this morning, and the Lord had laid something else on my heart. So I've studied this till, you know, since about 4:30, 4:45 this morning. Verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. I know how to be empty. I know how to humble myself. I know how it is to have nothing, is what he means by abased. I know how to abound. I know what it means to have my cup overfilling. I know how it feels to have it overflowing. To exceed everything, all my expectations. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. You know, we have a tendency as human beings to always be looking for more. No matter how good our lives are, no matter how good our jobs are, our families are, we're never really satisfied. We're continuously trying to find the next thing and the next thing and the next thing to fulfill that emptiness that we create in ourselves. And that's what Paul is trying to say here. He knows how to deal with that. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's a big verse. It doesn't mean that Christ will give me supernatural strength where I can run through a brick wall. It doesn't mean that He's going to make me a mathematician and I'll be able to do any problem that you can put in front of me. That's not what He means. What He means is, whatever is in front of me, I trust that Jesus Christ is Lord and I will prevail. Because I am saved. Because Jesus Christ is Lord. Paul, in this writing, in this epistle to the Philippians, he was trying to show them how to be content with where they were in their lives. Even in the face of death, which Paul was here, he didn't know whether he was about to be executed or not. Paul was content with knowing where he was in his spiritual life. He saw his life from God's point of view. He was no longer bothered with the stuff of the world. He knew, no matter what, where he was going. The next part I'm going to be reading, it's not from the Bible. I'm going to read from my phone. And this is part of what I was talking about that I just started studying this morning. I don't know if it was where we just left camp, and I was around so many kids learning about the Word, or if it was just the Spirit that put this on my heart. It's hard to talk about. It's really hard to talk about. But we have to. I don't know that I've ever heard of a scientist or a mathematician solve something without talking about the problem. If we're going to face these issues head on, we have to talk about what it is that's causing the issues. I've done some reading for the past couple months, and I've just been sitting on it. But this morning, I felt the Spirit was pushing me towards this. This is some excerpts from, I'm not going to give any statistics, not many, I've got a couple, but it's just some excerpts from some columns that I read on the issue. I'm sure there's a lot of us here, maybe every one of us here, have had an impact on our lives. This issue has impacted us in some way with someone that's in our family or someone that we know. And the issue is suicide. And something I think that has brought this to me was the numbers and how much it's been going on since the pandemic started. But what I didn't realize is how much longer before the pandemic started that this issue had become a serious issue. And one of the excerpts from a doctor that had wrote this column wrote this: suicide is a serious issue, but something to consider regarding it rates in the United States of America is that many suicides are the result of circumstances beyond avoidable circumstances. One thing that is a heavy commonality among people who die by suicide is an unshakable feeling of dread, despair, loneliness, and hopelessness. Do you not think today that that's exactly what this world and what Satan wants for the people of this world to feel? I know that I have felt lonely. I've felt dread. I've felt that hopelessness, even having a family, even having a family that loved me and told me that they loved me. I have felt that. These adjectives can be said to be overused in the discussions revolving around suicide, but they need to be taken seriously. And this is one of the statistics that jumped out to me. From 2010 to 2020, suicide rates increased by 50%. Among 13 to 18 year olds. Think about that. 13 to 18 year olds. And more than doubled in children aged 10 to 12. What could be so bad in an adolescent's life that would cause them to do that? There's a lot. But what's the solution to that problem? Before we get to that, here's one more excerpt from one of the columns that I read. And it just shows you how the world thinks about this problem. The increase became apparent around 2013. At the time, many popular social media networks launched. Sheridan and his colleagues cite studies showing an association between spending more time on social media or watching television and depression in adolescence. But said further research is needed to understand the root causes of this increase. I say there doesn't need to be any more studies to find out what the root cause of this issue is. We know how ungodly this world is and how much this world tries to push us away from God. When a kid sits on TikTok,
They're filling their minds with the garbage of this world. Just think about a young lady in her 20s gets dressed up and gets makeup on and makes a TikTok. What happens when she doesn't get any likes or reshare, however TikTok works? Her self-esteem drops, right? That's a girl in her 20s. What happens when a 13 or 14-year-old kid who's trying to impress their friends, trying to be like their friends, posts something and they don't get any likes? Their self-worth drops. They start to think that they're not worth anything. So, if you will, turn with me to Matthew 11. You know, I can't say that I know how that feels on social media. I've never really been the type to yearn for those likes or for that attention on social media, so I can't imagine how that must feel. But we have to think about the amount of content that are being thrown at these kids and the yearning for acceptance between all of their friends. You know, that's one of the driving factors. I didn't put this in here, but since TikTok has come about, gender dysphoria has gone up 10,000%. 10,000% just since TikTok. And it's because these kids are not getting the fulfillment that they need from God's Word. They're looking for the fulfillment from the worldly things. And that's where we come in. We as parents and as Christians are failing children in this country because of suicide. And I know that it's hard to talk about. It was hard for me to study this, and it was hard for me to get up here and preach this today. But this is what the Lord laid on my heart, and this is what I was going to do. Jesus says in Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, all ye that labor and are weighted down." You're heavy. Your burdens are so heavy you don't see a point in living till tomorrow. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I think we probably all know what a yoke is, but for those who don't, it's what's used for oxen to connect oxen together so that they're able to carry the equipment or whatever, the piece of equipment that they're using at the time. And Jesus is saying, learn, take my yoke and learn from me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, there was a young man this week at camp. And a few of the preachers, whenever they would give invitation, before they gave invitation, they would ask everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes. I did the same thing. That Brother Steve, that's what brought me to the altar when Brother Steve gave invitation at Dustin's funeral. But I had seen a few more do it before. And the amount of kids that raised their hand when I asked if they knew where they would go if they perished that day broke my heart. There was a young man in the front row that raised his hand. After service, he came up to me and he said, "JT, that sermon really spoke to me and I need to talk to you. I don't feel like I got saved for the right reasons and I want you to save me." And I said, "I can't save you. But what makes you think that you weren't saved for the right reasons? And he said, because I keep sinning. Because my life is still hard. I think we do a disservice as Christians. You know, salvation's not enough. Repentance is not enough. We do a disservice to kids and to everybody who doesn't know about salvation by telling them, if we tell them, that their life just becomes this glorious, magical thing. Paul and all of the disciples, all of the apostles, are proof that life is still hard, even after salvation. The next time I explained all this to him and I talked to him about this, and I told him that just because we get saved doesn't mean that we automatically stop sinning. It doesn't mean that all of our problems, all of our trials and tribulations in our lives just go away just like that. The next time that we had invitation was Brother Steve. Brother Steve did the same thing I did. And the young man didn't raise his hand. He knew that he'd been saved. But that just shows, it goes to show, especially kids, we have to do a better job explaining the gospel to them and explaining what it is that salvation comes with, what it is with following Jesus comes with, because it's not easy. Jesus talked to the disciples about, and we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school, Jesus told the disciples that one day they would bring you to the courts, one day they would bring you forward to be executed. Pay no mind to what is to be said, because the Holy Spirit will provide that for you. But it's just a picture of, this life is not always easy. We all suffer. We all go through trials and tribulations. But we're failing our youth in this country. And without our youth, there will be no us. If we don't teach our young children Jesus' words to take their problems to Him, how are they going to know to take their problems to Him? They're not. And then we're going to die off and the gospel's gone, because nobody down the line taught the gospel. If you will, I'm almost done already. If you will, turn back with me to Philippians 4. Verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Do not worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, that's something that has pulled me through a lot of the hard times that I've gone through since I rededicated my life to God. If you wake up in the morning and you don't see a direction forward, you don't see a path forward, and you don't know where you are in your life, this world will chew you up and spit you out every single day. Think on the things. Think on your children that you have sitting in the pews with you. Think on the church family that you have sitting here with you today. Think on the fact that we are able to read this Word still. We're able to fill our lives with the Word. Because one day that may not be possible. Having Paul talks about there in verse 7 about having the peace of God. Not peace with God. Not knowing that God is who He is and knowing what He's done for him. But the peace of God. No matter what you are going through, when you wake up in the morning and you pray to God, Lord, I know You have this. I have faith that whatever it is, cancer, drug addiction, listen, there's no drink you're going to drink. There's no drug you're going to do. There's no pill you're going to take. There's no doctor you're going to see that is going to fulfill the need for God's Word in this world. But that's what the world tells us we need. The world tells us that we need to go see the psychiatrist for our problems. And if you do, good. The world tells us that we need to take this medication for whatever issue it may be. But having the peace of God, there's nothing like it in this world. You know, we go through some things sometimes, and I go through some things sometimes where I wonder sometimes. But when I pray to Him, without any doubt in my mind that I know He's going to handle it, I do get that peace of God. The same peace of God that had in the prison where he didn't know if he was going to die or not. Paul had filled his life with God, with the Word of God, with the works that God had put on his heart. And when you do that, it makes this hard, disgusting world a whole lot easier. You know, Jesus in Matthew 11 had just gotten done telling the multitudes about how he had gone to all these places, these cities, and he'd done these works. And he'd spoke these words. And I think, I can't remember exactly what verse it was, but it said that, you know, it would be better for Sodom and Gomorrah, or Sodom, better for Sodom in the day of judgment. Because just like the disciples, when Jesus was crucified, they scattered. They got scared. Even though they saw and knew what Jesus had done for the past 3 years, they still left. And that's what Jesus is trying to say in Matthew 11 is, we who are Christians, we who fill our hearts and our minds with the Word, we know the truth. And if we don't do our duty and our job of spreading the gospel to those who need it, better it is for Sodom in the day of judgment. So, if you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I urge you today to do it. Don't be like the 10 kids at camp that heard the Word of God preached all week. I think there was one person saved at camp. For some reason, kids these days, people these days in general, are not moving on the Word of God. But I know the reason. It's because of social media. It's because of the people around you that pull you the opposite way from God. You don't want to disappoint them by becoming a Christian because then they're going to look at you different. Let me tell you, there's no better feeling than this right here. Being in this church with this family here in the Word of God, there's no better feeling. So we're going to have a song of invitation.
I'll pray first, please. Bow your heads. Dear Heavenly and Gracious Father, we come to You this morning, Lord, to ask that You will have Your way in this invitation. Lord, if there's anyone who are hearing Your word, Lord, and they want to move, but they just can't get up, I pray that they will find that confidence, find the courage to step forward, Lord, and proclaim Your name. And who knows, Lord, maybe there's two people, and that first person may start a chain, Lord. This world is difficult. It's hard. And we, as human beings, we look for worldly solutions to eternal problems, Lord. I just pray that Your will be done in this invitation. It's in Jesus' precious holy name I pray. Amen.